Hi everyone, welcome to a new episode of The Pivot of Change. I'm your host Sanne and I'm so happy that you're listening today to this new episode. And where I want to dive really deep into this week is anxiety, because this is something I've been struggling with for many years, and basically throughout my entire life. I already was really sensitive as a child. I was like extremely sensitive. So yeah, anxiety already started to have a big impact on my life from an early stage. And through more traumatic experiences, it got just worse and worse over the years. And also after my near-death experience and my heart attack, it got even worse because I was so much more sensitive to everything. And I definitely truly believe and have seen a lot that people are really sensitive and empathetic are more likely to really struggle with anxiety. So this week I'm going to really dive deep into what you can do when anxiety shows up, where our anxiety is really coming from, and how we can change it. And I'm not going to give you the promise that you will no longer experience anxiety again, or but what the difference is, what I always teach, is with emotions and certain states of being, the moment when we become really scared, or the moment when panic, for example, for listeners who have panic attacks, the moment that hits is the moment we feel extremely powerless to the emotional state that we're in. So we feel so powerless to the anxiety, so we don't know what to do with it. So the anxiety becomes worse and worse and worse, because we get into this panic because we don't know what to do. So in this episode, I kind of want to explain what you can do when anxiety comes up. But first, I kind of want to share my perspective of how I've really experienced it, and share my own experiences, because I think that will help as well. So for me, when anxiety would really show up was mainly in school. So when I would be in longer periods of time in a class with like a lot of different people, all these different energies, right, which I'm really sensitive to. And I always had this feeling, this urge, I have to get away, I have to get away, I have to get away. So when I was younger, at first it always showed up as this rebellion, right? I was skipping classes and, you know, or I was sick a lot, and all these different things. But basically just being in a class with a big group of students was just way too much for me, especially during that time. And I also had a lot of social anxiety. I really had this need, first of all, to fit in. So I would kind of change myself or say things differently for people to like me, in order to not really get that negative feedback. And it also has to do with some insecurity, of course. But for me, my anxiety really got worse and worse and worse when there were more experiences that were quite traumatic for me, and that were like losses of friends and family, and it really had a big impact on me. So because what basically trauma does, what trauma is, and I also explained this in the last episodes, I would really recommend you to listen to it as well, about healing childhood trauma. Because what happens with trauma, what trauma basically is unresolved stress, right? So when we talk about post-traumatic stress, what actually it is that we had a traumatic experience, right? And that experience continues to repeat itself in our subconscious. We're not aware of it, but continues to repeat itself in the subconscious. And sometimes it gets even more triggered by like something externally that reminds us of this original situation that was traumatic. And then we can feel emotionally and mentally, we can feel like we're back in that state. Right, so we can feel this, for example, there's this trigger, and it can be very small, so a lot of times we can be unaware of it. But for example, someone says something and it triggers us, and when we get really anxious or we get really angry and we don't know why, But usually when we go deeper into the emotions and into the feeling and really go beneath that, so what is beneath it, what we then can find is that it actually originally comes from a memory, right? From a traumatic memory that happened a long time ago during childhood or maybe later. But a lot of things originally stem from childhood. And then this memory gets kind of triggered over and over again in our daily lives, and we're not aware of it. So every time we feel this extreme anxiety or this extreme anger, and it comes up and we cannot really rationally understand it, that is usually the case. So what actually helped me heal my anxiety and overcome my anxiety most was to go to go deep into that anxious emotion and to go really deep into it with the processes I also described in the last episode about inner child healing. So really not trying to change the emotion, but really sitting with it. So when it's with anxiety, so you just sit down, you lay down, and you allow yourself to feel the anxiety. So instead of resisting the emotion, resisting the anxiety, you're now going to be present with it. And what's really important when you're being present with emotions is that you're not in this judgmental state. So not like, oh, I'm not supposed to feel this way, or it doesn't make any sense that I'm this scared, or, oh, I shouldn't worry about this. Because this is like invalidating your emotions, it's invalidating how you feel, and it's actually self-abusive. So, and then we're also in a state of resistance, so we're resisting the emotion, and what resists persists. So the more you resist your anxiety, the more you try to fix it, change it, let it be different, the worse it gets, because you're resisting the emotion, and resist emotions, they get stronger. So if you want to heal your anxiety and overcome it, so you no longer have to feel powerless to it, that's the way I describe it, but it's the most important to do the opposite. So instead of running away from your anxiety, be present with it. Instead of judging your anxiety, try to understand it and see it as valid, right? So that's the most important thing, is to seek understanding. Hey, why is this anxious feeling? Why is it here? And try to see your emotions as messengers, right? As messengers that are trying to show you something really important about yourself that's in your subconscious, which you're not aware of. And the easiest way for us to get into our subconscious mind, so the easiest way for us to reprogram our subconscious mind and find out these deep-rooted subconscious beliefs and feelings is through emotion. It's by following the emotion. Because then we can find where it is originally coming from. So if you're really struggling with anxiety, the number one thing I would really recommend you is to really set the time out for yourself. And so whenever you feel anxiety, instead of trying to distract yourself from it, and this is a lot of times how addictions evolve as well, and that's also how it happened to me, but I'll get later into that. But what's really important is that you set the time out for yourself, that you're going to be unconditionally present with your anxiety. Right? So no distracting. You can close your eyes or even keep your eyes open. It doesn't really matter that much. For most people, it's easier to go into their emotions with closed eyes. So when this trigger comes up, so your anxiety is triggered, you're just going to set the time out for yourself. And if in the beginning it is scary for you still and you're not used to sitting with your emotions, just set a timer for 10 minutes. But what I think always is best is to not even set a timer, but to take as long as you need for it. But I know sometimes we have appointments and we have other things coming up. So it's okay to set a timer for yourself, right? If that makes you feel more comfortable, more safe, that is really important. And then really be present with that emotion, right? And really become aware of, how does anxiety feel for me? So where am I feeling it in my body? What sensations are coming up? What thoughts are coming up in relation to these emotions, right? And then we lose a resistance to the anxiety, and a lot of times when we're really present with anxiety, it already becomes less. Because it's like when you have this message behind it, it's like it's okay for these all these feelings, all these emotions, all these sensations to be here. A lot of times they will transform into something else naturally. And but when you feel like really, really strong sensations and emotion, I will go more with the process I described a little bit more in depth in the last episode. So then you're with about childhood trauma. So then when you're really deep into the emotion, into the state, and you're really allowing yourself to feel completely, you can also ask yourself, when was the first time I felt this way? Right? And then really allow, really trust yourself and allow that memory to come up within you. So not really like a mental flashback, so don't see it like that, but more as this emotional feeling memory coming up within your body, and then really be present with it. But I have another episode about it. But when it comes to anxiety, what also is a lot of times the case, the way it gets worse throughout our life is when we start to distract ourselves from it. And a lot of times, it's don't blame yourself for doing this because this is a lot of times the way we've been trained into doing it. Right? We've been trained into distracting ourselves from our emotions. Right? That's why we live in such an addictive society. So don't blame yourself or judge yourself for it. And I also want to share my own story about using weed for my anxiety. So I had kind of developed a marijuana addiction at a very early age already, when I was early on in my teens, which I explained all these things happened. So with school, and I lost loved ones, and that was really difficult for me. And it really triggered my anxiety severely, like really severely. And so all I knew how to do, so I started smoking cigarettes first at an early age because I was experiencing a lot of stress, and it helped me. It just gave me temporary relief. And that is what addiction does. It gives us temporary relief. It gives us a better feeling for a moment, but in the long run, it actually has a destructive impact on our life. And if you really want to know more about addiction and the link to childhood trauma, I also mentioned it in the last episode. I really recommend you to check out the work of Gabor Maté. He also has a lot of interviews and also lectures, seminars online, and he also has written great books as well. So really check out his work. But yeah, so what he also said, like what we do with addiction, we're not really addicted to the substance, right? So a lot of times in our society, we really focus on the substance, like that substance, that drug, that thing is addictive, right? But it's more important that we focus on our relationship to the substance. Why do we actually become dependent on something outside of ourselves to give us a feeling, right? To change our feeling state, to numb our pain, or to make us feel better? Why are we doing this? And for me, the why was because I was experiencing extreme anxiety, right? And where was this anxiety coming from? From trauma. From unresolved trauma. And this is almost always the case. So if you really want to actually stop the addiction, instead of blaming ourselves, seeing ourselves as bad, and why are you doing this? This is bad for you, or it's not good for you. It's not going to help you. Because when I started to go really deep into anxiety, and I did it with a trauma recovery practitioner, which I am now myself, and then we just did the process that I just explained, and we went really deep into my anxiety. And then we went into all these memories. So with me, a lot of different memories came up. So in my teenage years and my childhood memories, and they were all linked together, right? They all had similarities. And it was like I was repeating the same traumatic experiencing, feeling-wise, over and over again. And when I became aware of that, I really resolved that pain, because I also had someone else being present with me in my pain, which is extremely healing. And that's why I do the work as a trauma recovery practitioner as I do, is because I know it's so powerful to have someone who is also professional and can guide you through these emotional processes and help you heal. And by helping you heal, that person isn't actually doing something. The main thing a good practitioner is doing is being present with you, not judging you, being there with you, giving you that unconditional presence. And you can also do it yourself, but I do truly believe it's really powerful to have someone else with you, because a lot of our traumatically experience originate from feeling alone, right? Feeling alone in our pain. And by having someone else be with you in your pain, that naturally heals, right? Because you're experiencing the opposite. That's what healing actually is. Healing is experiencing the opposite. So, okay. So, by actually going into that childhood trauma and resolving the childhood trauma, my addiction to smoking immediately stopped. And it was crazy. I was even surprised by it, because the reason why I was actually reaching out to a practitioner was mainly about my anxiety, and my addiction was already less because I already was doing a lot of inner work and being disciplined, but still I felt myself relapsing a little bit here and there. But after, I know a day after that session I had with her, I tried to smoke and then I couldn't. I just couldn't do it anymore. I didn't want to do it anymore. Something had completely changed and shifted, because I no longer had a reason to do it, right? My original reason for smoking was gone. It was resolved. So that's why I think the most powerful thing when it comes to anxiety is going into it. And the same is with addiction. And I think a lot of people actually cover up anxiety with addiction. But it can be different reasons for it, of course. But I think with a lot of cases, that's true, especially with marijuana addictions. Also, speaking about that, next week there will also be a new episode posted with Alice, where I also dive really deep into marijuana addiction. So we also go deeper into that. And I also think I have a separate episode about addictions as well. So if you want to know more about it, you can also find that one. But let's get back to anxiety, because that's where this episode is about, of course. So when you're struggling with anxiety, so what can you do? So like I just mentioned, be present with your anxiety, sit down out for it, and when you feel like it's really big and sometimes overwhelming, please reach out to someone, right, to be present with you. It can be me, of course. This is the work that I do. I've experienced it myself, and I would love to help and guide you through your own healing journey and be present with you. Right, so feel free to reach out. You can just go to my website, sanaheart.com, and then we can just have a free discovery call together for an hour, see if it clicks. And if it does, and if you feel like I'm the right person to help you, and then we can just have a session together. I can really help you and guide you through it. And also, you can also, when you really trust someone, maybe a family member or a friend, someone in your community, also you can ask them to be present with you. There's so many different options. So really do what feels right for you and what you feel called to. So what can we do when anxiety basically comes up in our day-to-day lives? What then is really important is to focus on your breathing. So that's what we're going to get into now. Okay, Sunny, you just gave us a process what we can do. But what if it just shows up, in the middle of my day when I'm at work or at school or, out with friends? What do I do then, right? Okay, so the number one thing is focus on your breathing. Right, this is when breathing becomes really, really powerful. Okay, what happens when we get into a state of stress and anxiety? We start to breathe higher, right? So, what actually happens, we start to breathe higher, shorter breaths. Yes, because what happens, our fight or flight mechanism is triggered. In moments of stress and anxiety, that's the thing that's triggered. So you're actually in a different state, and your nervous system is in a different state than when you're more relaxed. So a lot of times we're unaware of this, but we are in a stressful state quite a lot, most people, right? And we're not even aware of it. I wasn't aware of it. When I became aware of my anxiety, that's why I think it's so powerful to sit with it and to know what it feels like with your body so that you can recognize it really fast. But when I started to recognize it over and over again, I was like, okay, I am experiencing this more than I thought I had. And it wasn't no longer in the way of, oh shit, that's not good. It was more like, because I was no longer feeling powerless to my anxiety because I was being present with it. I was like, okay. So what can I now do about it? And what helped me most was, again, to not resist it, to be present with it. Most important, whenever anxiety comes up, do not resist it. And how do you not resist it? Instead of trying to change it or fix it, try to feel it and understand it. Yeah? So feeling and understanding, that's where it's all about. That's like the non-judgmental state is complete present feeling and understanding the emotion. And so when you're in a stressful state, what you can then do is focus on your breathing, right? So instead of taking these short breaths, what happens when we're really stressful, you're now going to take deep breath in, yes, then you can hold it for a few seconds, and then you take a long breath out. So you just focus on taking deep breath in, pausing the breath for a few seconds, and long breaths out. And for some people, it really can help to count. So what I learned, and this is basically what I discovered while I was in the hospital from a heart attack, is that a certain like breathing techniques lower heart rate. So one of them is was let me see, it. Now I have to remember. It was, yes, 4 seconds breathing in deeply, then holding it for 7 and breathing out for 8. That was one that really worked well for me, but maybe for you, different seconds work differently. But it's really about taking a deep breath in, pausing, long breath out. That's most important because that actually lowers your heart rate. Right, because it's also you start to breathe higher, your heart rate goes up. So what you can also do is put your hand on your heart and to really feel your heartbeat. So make sure you really breathe instead of really from the chest, really deeply from your belly, and just focus on your breathing. And while you focus on your breathing, you're just focusing on all the feelings that are in your body. Right? And you just become as present as you can. Right? And this is what helped me. Really, it's really simple, focusing on your breathing, but I think it's the most powerful thing when any strong emotions, any strong sensations come up, to not resist it, but to really breathe into it. And like I said, a lot of times the case when we no longer resist something, it already naturally gets less on its own. And when you feel like it's really getting stronger, you know, be brave enough to tell someone. You know, when you're in a group of people or when you're at work. I know this might be difficult for some people, but telling people about it, like I am struggling with anxiety. I know it probably for a lot of people it's most of the scariest things. But when you have people that are aware of it, it can really help you. And it already naturally releases a lot of resistance you have to your anxiety. And for sometimes when then anxiety shows up at work or when you're with friends, people will be more understanding because you already told them. So I've especially socially, I do think it's a good idea to open up about it. And I do understand that it's really scary. I didn't do it for a very long time. Now, of course, I do. But that's after time, you know? So maybe for you, the first person to tell is a trusted friend, right? Or a family member. Maybe one of your parents, housemates, or someone you trust at work. I do believe it's really powerful to open up, right? And by opening up about it, we also make it easier for others to do the same. So we are stop making it a taboo in society that anxiety and depression, we all experience it on our own level. We all experience it in some way, and it shouldn't be a taboo. We should be able to open up about it, right? So that's why I also do the work that I do, and I do open up about it, even though I sometimes feel resistance, even though I sometimes find it scary as well, and I also have anxiety come up. But I know why I'm doing it. And yes, this is one thing I kind of also want to dive into. It's going to be the last thing for this episode, is about feeling safe. Because this, I think, is still important and I want to mention it. So, what happens when we are in a stressful state and when we're experiencing anxiety, we're not feeling safe? This is very important to remember. So, when that feeling comes up and shows up in your reality, it's really important to note to yourself, okay, I'm not feeling safe right now. Why am I not feeling safe? Or how can I make this situation right now safer for myself? So, when you're, for example, when you're at home and you're experiencing anxiety, for me, sometimes having a blanket, can make me feel more safe. Or, sometimes when I'm out there, a nice warm blanket-like scarf can make me feel more safe. So when you're experiencing a lot of anxiety, it means you're not really feeling safe. So ask yourself this: how can I feel more safe? So maybe it actually means that the people you're around, you don't feel that safe with. So it's also important to ask yourself that question, and it will be different for everyone. But maybe, again, feeling more safe is expressing your boundaries to people, right? Expressing boundaries. It's a very important topic when it comes to anxiety. So also ask yourself, am I really setting clear boundaries? Right, so am I doing things I don't want to do over and over again? Am I putting other people's needs above my own? Because these have been patterns I've been recognizing. And especially when you dive into your anxiety, so into the feelings and emotions, I really recommend you to create a really safe and comfortable space for yourself. So for some people, it's like laying in your bed with your blanket or in a chair, also with a nice blanket or something. Also, things that can help me feel more safe is warm drinks. Just having a warm drink, that's why I'm like a big tea lover. At first, I would drink like way too much coffee. Drinking too much coffee, also, it's not good for anxiety. So, when you are a big coffee drinker and experiencing a lot of anxiety, maybe drink less or even consider stop drinking coffee on a daily basis. That is what I've done. Because I've experienced that it actually triggers more sensitivity, more anxiety. It also is your the way you eat. Eating a lot of sugar and caffeine also has an impact on it. But what I recommend most is create a more safe world for yourself. Because when you're experiencing severe anxiety, you're not feeling safe in this world. And yeah. These are kind of the last things I really, really wanted to share. So if you have any questions about it, always feel free to reach out to me. And I really, really mean this. And I also had the last couple of weeks also people reach out to me how much they enjoyed the podcast and message me and email me. And I really am so grateful for your messages. I love you all. Really, thank you. I think it's amazing for you taking out the time. But also, if you have any questions about the episodes or about the things I talk about, And if you're struggling with anxiety, please, please feel free to reach out to me. You can find me on Facebook and Instagram, just Sanna Hart, or my website, sannahart.com. And I also want to let you all know that I also have a private mentorship program, The Rising Phoenix, which I'm really so, so passionate about. It's amazing, and I'm already started working with a few clients who are beautiful, amazing people and are ready to really make big changes in their lives, big shifts, and are ready to transform and commit to doing deep inner work. So if you're looking for someone to really guide you on your healing journey, you want to resolve childhood trauma, change limiting beliefs, and really move forward, right? Move in the direction of where you want to go. I would love to help you and guide you on the process. So also feel free to go to my website, message me for more info, or just book directly a free discovery session with me, so we can really see if it's something for you. And again, I really want to thank you so, so much for listening to this episode today. I'm so grateful for you listening, and I really want to wish you a beautiful, beautiful week, and know that you're not alone, and I love you all. And thank you so much for listening. And also, if you haven't already, don't forget to join the Pivot of Change Facebook group. Just search Pivot of Change on Facebook and you'll find us. It's an awesome Facebook group. Lots of fun. So feel free to join. So again, thank you so much and sending you lots of love. Bye-bye.